Welcome to another edition of Dr. Decision and Coach. My name is Dennis McCurdy, a.k.a. Coach, and I'm here with the famous or infamous Leo Polizzotti. That is Dr. Polizzotti, Dr. Decision.
All these names.
I know.
My wife calls me other ones.
I'm sure she does. Our goal is to give you valuable, useful information that will help you change your life for the better and help you live a better life as well. Dr. Decision, what's up?
Well, I thought we could talk about self-efficacy, which is an interesting term.
You're not going to say it's too warm out today?
No, it is warm. Yeah, it's 59 degrees, which is like a heat wave here in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yeah. So today we're talking about efficacy.
What the heck is it? A belief in the ability to get desired outcomes where you really believe, oh, I can do that. I can hit a home run. I can do whatever, you know.
Right. And actually, it comes from a Latin word, efficere, which means to work out or accomplish.
Huh, yeah, oh, that makes sense, yeah. So how do you increase that ability? You know, and it's a matter of confidence, practice, keep at it. And I know you have some other things to add down the road.
Yeah, experiencing small successes.
Exactly.
Every time you experience a little bit of a success, you feel more efficacious.
Efficacious. I know it's a tough
efficacious
one. Psychologists say that all the time. The self-efficacy was lowered or something, you know, that type of thing. So how do you increase this ability? That's an interesting question. And like a lot of things, this originated, believe it or not, with the Stoics.
Right.
Again, they're always in this stuff.
They're always there somewhere, right?
I'm telling you.
And as we said before, it's the experience, so experiencing success and building on that. Even seeing other people succeed can sometimes help you with that. And getting encouragement.
Right, absolutely.
Encouragement's always important. I always like the saying, when you encourage someone, you're putting courage in them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty cool saying.
I mean, if you have a baby that then starts to walk, the baby experiences a sense of self-efficacy, but they have no idea, you know.
Right.
But that's, I think, a great example. You know, look at, now he wants to walk all over the place and run around the house, you know,
sure.
Type of thing.
And then, and actually, they get the experience of success.
Mm-hmm.
They can see others succeed because they see their parents walking, and they get specific encouragement for that. I mean, a lot of encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we got that kind of encouragement the rest of our life, we might do better, all of us.
Yeah, that's for sure. So it originated with the Stoics, and everybody's probably heard of the Serenity Prayer.
Right.
Now, the Serenity Prayer was developed out of this Stoics. I mean, they took it and they developed it. And also, there's a number of other things that branch off, like anything else, I guess. You know,
it's kind of like that whole of the Stoics, like, control what you can.
And what you can't.
And let go of the rest of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like some people trying to think that you can control your daily activities, you can control what you eat, you can't control the government,
right.
You can't control the economy and the rest of the world, so you don't need to spend much time doing that. Work on yourself.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I saw something the other day on TV, I think, or something, and a guy was saying that, well, you can vote, and the other guy started laughing. In other words, what he was basically saying is there's no really efficacy, high efficacy rating of voting because you're one person. Now, as a group, it makes a difference, obviously.
Right.
You know,
and I think I've told you before, in talking to a local state representative, he said on a big issue, he gets 5 or 6 letters.
Yeah.
So the problem is it's the old pogo thing. We've met the enemy and it's us.
Yeah, oh, you absolutely.
Know, we have to complain to them or both. Not only complain, we have to say in a positive way, hey, we like this, and in a negative way, we don't like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what it is, talking about efficacy? It gets into like the mindset, because it gets into that mindset of you can't fight City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a belief, and then people become helpless. That's that learned helplessness.
I remember this saying, one job I was in, and someone used to say, you can't fight City Hall when you live there, meaning that you're working for the government. So
right.
But anyway, so something I added, though, and the idea is if you just accept something the way it is, that it can be changed, maybe you lose some effectiveness. But And if you decide to try to change something that can't be changed, that causes distress. But the bottom, what I've added, I think is interesting. It would be good to keep some hope that what can't be changed at that time may be more workable at another time. Right. And maybe as a result of you doing the other part that you could get done. It's a little bit different than a serenity prayer.
Right, right.
But it makes sense. It's kind of wordy and it's twisted my mind when you
basically, like I said a little while ago to you, adopt the philosophy of not yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I'm not there yet, but yeah. I'm going to get there.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the motivation's there, the sense of I can do it, confidence, belief in self-efficacy of the ability to do whatever the project is, whatever. So that's how it's done. You're absolutely right. So you look at the probabilities regarding what you can change and can't change, because that's an important aspect. Obviously, I've had people say to me, well, I don't know what you can and what you can't. That's why you have to stop and think about it.
Right.
You know, and, right. And you decide, can I really do this? Or maybe right now I can't do this, so I'm going to stick with this other part or some other option. But that's how you decide that. You just sit there, and there's all kinds of techniques. We'll go over some in the future about how do you decide which is the best way to go.
Right.
But a lot of people, they just go, and it may not be the best one.
Right.
So you want to look at the probabilities regarding changing or not changing, and then base those on your knowledge of decisions you've made in the past. Like a lot of people probably say, oh, no, I'm pretty sure I can do that. Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? Oh, because I've done that in the past or something similar that I can make work in this situation. Now, they don't normally say, I feel efficacious about that.
Right, I mean,
it's a little fancy, you know.
Right.
That's why us psychologists get big bugs.
I know.
They use big words.
And I think it goes back to that whole thing of do what you can. And one of the things that we can control is our mindset and our actions.
Exactly.
And those are probably the two most important things to develop efficacy.
I think so. Absolutely. So it helps you when you figure this out and you know, can I do something about this? I can't do something about this. It helps you be more decisive and have less stress. I mean, that's right. The bottom line. But the ultimate result is to get more done and not wasting time in addition to having the effectiveness in what you are doing. So in other words, if somebody really, I mean, I've done it. I guess you could stick procrastination in here. And I guess we've all done it. Should I do that? I don't know. But there's no logic to it. It's just kind of, you know, you're bouncing around and then something comes up and you go, I'll do it. You know, I have a thing at home. I've collected over the years statements that people made about procrastination and decisions. And Marilyn Monroe, I have it. It was on a handkerchief that I saw in some store somewhere. And it said Marilyn Monroe used to say when it came to a decision about what to do about something, she always said, what the hell? And that was supposedly her, what the hell, you know? Yeah. Now, that could be exciting. In another way, you can get in bad situations.
Right.
So hopefully people think a little bit more about it than simply what the hell.
Well, I think, you know, probably she thought about it a little bit maybe, and then she said, well, it's a 50-50 shot or...
Trying to decide which candidate,
60-40, and I'm going to go ahead and go, yeah. I'm going to go for it.
Exactly. So anyway, there's an example in relationships, and I jotted a couple of things down, but when something is out of your control, and you say, well, geez, I'm not able to do that. You still have power. And that to me is really, that really rings a bell. In other words, that person can tell me, that's dumb the way you did that. Okay. Now I can decide, anybody can decide to think about that. Oh, gee, I mean, Ralph doesn't think, he thought that was a bad thing. And get all flustered and on and on and on. But you have the power to not be bothered. As a matter of fact, there's a whole field in psychotherapy where they call it cognitive therapy, and they talk about stuff like this in a way that you have this power to decide which way you go.
Right.
It doesn't have to just be the way someone says it, you know.
Right.
But it's a strong power, and people don't realize that. Now, if you're in a situation where, you know, the boss is saying do this or else, well, you don't have too much power. You still have, and this is going to sound ridiculous, you still have the power to say, I really don't want to do that. And then, of course, you have the power to get in your car when you get fired.
Right. But you have to understand the consequences.
Exactly. That. Right. Absolutely. That's what I was leading up to. Absolutely.
And it was Barry Kaufman, who runs the Option Institute in Massachusetts.
Out west, yeah.
He had this model. He said, most people run off of stimulus and response.
Mm-hmm.
And what he suggests is that we look at stimulus belief response. Yeah. In other words, examine our belief.
A lot of these things have floated around for a long time, that particular idea. Mm-hmm. A guy who invented psychotherapy for depression. I say invented, became famous with it. I don't know if he originated. Maybe the Stoics did that too.
Probably.
But the whole thing was he has ABC. A's the activity, what happened. B's the belief, C's the consequence.
Right.
You look at the belief, because the belief controls the consequence. If your belief is, well, that happens, and okay, so I didn't do the best job I could that time. Well, okay, that's too bad. Versus, oh, gee, this is awful. I'm supposed to get that done, and I should have got it done. You know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you really do a number on yourself.
Sure, you can do a number on yourself.
That book out that the guy wrote, Gentle Art of Not Giving a F.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the idea behind that? I mean, if you could be in that situation and be that laid back, of course, on the other hand, if you're not careful, you can get in trouble.
Well, I think a big part of that book, which is the title kind of leads you astray, is that it's you do examine your beliefs and you don't give a F about things that don't matter. You can't control. You have your own values,
right,
and that's what drives you. And everything has, for you personally, has to be based on your own values.
Absolutely. When I read it, I felt the same thing. I expected something different. A lot of like the hell with everybody, but that was not what he did.
That probably wouldn't be a good way to live life.
So we have that power to choose what we do with what happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
Once we're viable. I mean, obviously, when you're a child, you have no... Well, maybe, you know, mommy doesn't feed you fast enough, you can start screaming.
We got the terrible twos, right?
I've been in the terrible 30s and 40s and 50s.
My grandson's going through the terrible twos right now, so he's learning no.
Anyway, so you can always have that power to decide how you feel and react to something like negative. Someone insults the person, you know.
Right.
What did you wear that for, you know, type of thing.
Or you make a mistake.
You make a mistake. And I remember years ago I was at this training. There was only about 20 people in the room. It was at University of Massachusetts. And there was a book written. God, now I can't remember the name of the book. Values Clarification. Mm-hmm. Three guys, right? So one of the guys, Jack Canfield was involved with that group, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys was doing this talk on the whole concept. And he's talking about this and, you know, going along about values and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, a young woman there said, oh, Simon, I think was his name. Dr. Simon, you just contradicted yourself. And he looked at her and he goes, yeah, I probably did. Next question. I mean, I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was kind of, okay, so I contradicted myself. Next. I mean, I thought it was great. I'm going to try to use that myself someday.
There you go.
Anyway, it's funny how these things stick in your mind, you know. So no one can take that away. I mean, obviously, if you're in a prison camp in North Korea or something.
Right. Well, that's a total different story. As we said before, there's always a decision and a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, no one can take that away from us.
Right.
Again, unless some really extreme, ridiculous circumstance. People can hurt you, so you may experience hurt, but then you can still decide how you respond to that. Money can be lost, jobs disappear, you know, whatever. You can decide how to respond to that. So if someone, let's say, loses a job and they're really upset about it because they thought it wasn't a good deal, they shouldn't have been fired or whatever, of course they're going to be upset. That's normal. But the hope is that within not too long a period of time, they'd say to themselves, well, hey, good riddance, and I'm going to get out there and do something else because it's not the end of the world. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I'm out of work for 6 months or something. I'll survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess I'm okay. You know, that type of thing.
Right.
So you can put a lot of these little things together, but the ultimate position is I can make a decision anytime I want how I feel about something.
And sometimes it's funny, though, how those unfortunate circumstances where, say, someone gets fired, it can end up being the best thing that happened in their life because maybe they wanted to go out and start a business or go back to school or create something different, but they were stuck in that mode and didn't have the grit to jump out.
Yeah, so something I read years ago was, I will never remember the title, and it was a guy that he'd be relatively well-known for a bit. He said that the failures he had working were always an advantage. So he described like four or five different jobs he had. And he said, every single one, if I was fired or I left or whatever it was, he says, every single one, I learned something. And then, I know who it was. It was the guy who wrote the Dilbert.
Yes, Scott.
Scott something. And he said, and then finally, someone said, you could draw these things. Or he said, I don't know how to draw. And then, let me give it a shot. And do they still publish those?
It's Scott Adams. Yeah, Scott Adams. I read his book.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, but what a interesting. So yeah, you're right. As a result of all those losses, but picking up information on the way,
and then trying things. And but I think a big part of the information he picked up is working in that corporate environment. Mm-hmm. He picked up all the little crazy nuances and things that people do, and was able to expand on that and made a career out of it.
Yeah, I remember the one I used to always remember is when. The guy says, we're going to have a pre-meeting before we have the regular meeting, but we're going to have a meeting before the pre-meeting so we know what to talk about in the pre-meeting. I mean, it was like, and I've been in those situations.
Welcome to the corporate world sometimes, right?
Anyway, so the power to decide what role an event will play in someone's life, you always have. Now, there can be horrendous events, and I understand it's not easy just to say, hey, what is the big deal, you know?
Right.
I had a police officer I saw who came to see me because him and two other officers went to a quote-unquote dead baby call. Nobody likes that, you know, nope. Dead baby, you know. If I croak, what the hell, they don't care. But you know. but seriously, I said, so what's reacting to the situation? He says, well, not really. He said, I went home, told my wife, and it bothered me that night. He says, but then 2 days later, things happened. The kid got killed. Too bad. I mean, nothing I can do. And he was obviously using the can idea or whatever without even knowing he was doing it. And he said, that's what I think's wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the other two are out of work. They've been out of work for a week because they're so upset and can't sleep, this, that, and have nightmares, whatever. And I'm not. I said, well, that's not bad. It's just you're able to handle the situation better and you made a decision, okay. Nothing I can do about it, I guess. He didn't use that term, but that's what he was doing.
But you feel bad for the circumstances.
Of course.
But you then can't change it.
It's all over. Whatever. So it's really interesting, a very powerful thing. So we can't control the situation. That's the key phrase. But we can control how we respond
to
the situation.
And that's the most important part.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. What else? I just want to – there's something else I had I wish I could – I should have wrote down where I got this quote from. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And the reason why I wrote it down was because, I never thought of it that way. We can't change the situation, okay, so we can accept it or whatever. But then what happens is you could look at it as you're being challenged to change yourself, because isn't that really like what the whole Serenity Prayer issue and all this stuff talks about?
Right.
That, I can't change myself. And that may be motivation to start doing stuff, learning more or running faster or whatever you need to do to challenge yourself. Right. It could be a positive
going
effect.
Going back to school, whatever you got to do. Yeah. Right. Starting your own business.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So that's about it. And believe me, people, we've talked about it many times, you and I. I mean, it's a relatively simple idea, but all you have to do is run through it. Wait a minute, what can I and what can't I do about this? Huh. Yeah, but I can't. That's not going to change. I just told my wife today, when she was talking about a friend of hers, and there was a problem with her husband or something, a long, boring story. And I said, she's got to understand that she can't change this guy. This is the way he's been for years.
Right.
Give it up. What can I tell you?
Right.
But, I want to help Ralph, and then what are you going to do? It's a shame.
Sometimes you just can't, especially when it comes to other people. Yeah. You can't change. I mean, it's hard enough to change yourself, never mind try to change somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Look at how long you've been trying to change me.
I know. And nothing's working. Well, with that, let's just say, remember that quote again that Leo gave, when you can no longer change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves.
That's a good philosophy
to live by.
Exactly.
With that, we're going to end tonight or this afternoon. And I want to remind you of a couple little things. Again, we're Dr. Decision and Coach. Here's some things to think about when you're moving forward through your life. When you have a new challenge or situation, think about starting small. Sometimes people overwhelm themselves and they get into these bad situations. Find support. I'm a big believer in goal buddies. Sometimes if you get stuck, you need somebody to kind of kick you in the butt or at least be there and say, hey, you're off track. I like that saying, not yet.
Yeah. That is interesting.
It's kind of motivating in a way. You know, I'm heading there. I'm not there yet. So don't get discouraged, but I'll get there. It's always about patience and persistence. One of the things I liked, I forget who said it. I think it was Jim Clear in Atomic Habits. Never miss 2 days in a row if you're working towards something new. And I also remember, too, that initially human beings are wired to be negative. That's how we survived. So it takes a little bit of effort to stop and say, can or can't? Can I change this or can I change this? Really keep that in mind. Really focus on that. Can I or can't I?
Absolutely.
That will save you a lot of misery in life. And with that, it's Dr. Decision and Coach signing off.
See you later.